Welcome back to Ashburton. We're about ready to start now.
It's political commentary.
Dr. Bryce Edwards, good morning.
Good morning. We have a new Prime Minister and a baby on the way.
Oh, quite exciting, eh? That's a first.
Yes. Is New Zealand first.
Classic. That sort of jostling around on the top seat, very unusual. People really want to talk about that, don't they? They really want to Winston's in charge for 6 weeks, like he's going to just lay waste to the country.
That's right, but really nothing's going to happen.
He'll get more airtime is what will happen.
Yeah, and the thing with Winston Peters is he always wants to be the statesman. In opposition, he's the rebel rouser. He's, you know, full of, kind of lots of bold statements and promising, not revolution, but, a good bit of a revolt. But then when he gets into power, he actually likes to be a bit more conservative. He likes to be like his hero, Winston Churchill. He likes to be kind of a statesperson-like, and he wants everyone to respect him. And so he's not going to risk the next 6 weeks being seen as some sort of dog's breakfast.
Yeah, it's not like he's got a whole bunch of stuff up his sleeve, has he? Sort of go, ha-ha.
Not that we know of. there will be some surprises.
He will
say some Winston things. So I'm still looking forward to it. I'm going to enjoy it. But he does have to consult with Ardern on any big issues. And it's still cabinet government. He's still only one person.
Of course.
The rest of his colleagues have to also make these decisions. So I don't think we're in too much danger of anything drastic happening. But
Should Winston drop? Should Winston fall
for some
reason,
Davis.
Then Calvin Davis will step in. Prime Minister Calvin Davis will step in.
And that could well happen, because it's not just if he drops being hit by a bus or something. It's also if he goes overseas, because, of course, he's Foreign Affairs Minister.
Yeah.
And so if he does have to go out of the country...
That'd be frowned upon, though, wouldn't it? You know, unless... I mean,
there might be some urgent trade negotiation. I don't know. But, yes, it would be... I think he'll be sticking in Wellington. Right. I don't even think he moves into the ninth floor of the Beehive. I think he stays in his same.
Oh, yeah, he's not gonna do a shift.
They'll just
reroute the phone or something, surely.
Yeah. I mean, there's always a chance that it could be longer than 6 weeks, and if strange things can happen. And
legally, what's the situation? Can the Prime Minister just sort of go, I'm pulling my maternity leave? What's the deal there? She's had the conversation with everyone. They've all had an agreement, and
They've signed a letter. So she sent a letter to Peters, detailing everything and saying, make sure you keep me in the loop about stuff, basically. And I'm only away for 6 weeks, So, but I would never be surprised if it was a bit longer.
That would make sense. It's a bubba. It's a new, brand new bubba.
I don't think anyone would bear her a will if she took another couple of weeks, another couple of months.
I think the same. I agree with you. Yeah. I agree with you. What a great way to take this to divert attention from this petrol tax going through.
Yes, she's very
timing.
Isn't she?
Timing.
Very Machiavellian.
Yeah, I think I'll have it right in Auckland Hospital, I think. I think I have it right in the centre of almost right in the middle of Spaghetti Junction.
It is actually going to be a big distraction. You're right. There's going to be world media. There's going to be, everyone's going to be interested.
There's a classic at the moment where there's a reporter crossing to Sanso who's outside the hospital now. What are they doing outside the hospital? Just getting cold. That's so ridiculous.
There's going to be a lot of ridiculous stuff. And, of course, I don't know, but I just presume that Ardern and Clark Gayford aren't going to be giving heaps of media interviews and lots of photos over the next day or so, or even weeks. So I think they'll probably end up being quite private. And that means that the media are going to have to...
create news. That'll be a change.
Some idiot, political commentator's going to say something stupid on a BFM radio show or something, and that will become news about it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
There's going to be lots of stories about the story.
Yeah, yeah.
There'll be lots of craziness. So watch out what you say, because they're looking for something.
All right. Well, back to the petrol tax real quick, because I think it's a given. It's happening. There's a whole bunch of people barking at the moment, sort of saying that it's going to, it's going to make life in Auckland that much harder. It will, but it's sort of the point.
Yeah.
It's sort of the point, isn't it? To try and urge people onto public transport to pay for the infrastructure that needs to be paid for, and you can sit there and whinge about that, or you can sit there in the traffic and whinge about that.
That's right. Yeah. But I mean, there are some people who are going to hurt more than others from it, because it's just one of those straightforward regressive taxation situations where if you're poor, you're going to have to pay more of your income, more of your costs on petrol. The rich won't really be too worried about it. But
funny the way that works.
Yeah, that's right. So, I mean, I'd like to think that it's going to lead to some cheaper public transport, better public transport, because, it will be a bit of a shame if it just means everyone pays more and, the people that are already doing well just end up getting a better transport system, and it's still crap out in South Auckland.
Right. Now let's talk about Thompson and Clark, spy agency. Is that the right term for them? Spy agency. They're probably in the book under the Devil's PR or something. They'd be PR, wouldn't they? Wouldn't they call themselves?
No, definitely not PR.
Investigators?
They sound like PR people, but in fact, now you mention it, what's the name of those people from Tintin? Isn't that Thompson and Thompson?
That's Thompson and Thompson, yeah. I think they're sort of trading on that a wee bit. Thompson and Clark.
So Thompson and Clark, they are security
people.
and they specialise in surveillance and dirty work done, dirt treat. Basically.
Which reminds me, it's the final of The Handmaid's Tale this season tonight.
Yes, so it is. There is some darkness in it, yeah, absolutely.
What's been going on? What did they put it into a nutshell for a surprise? What is the it's the former government, the opposition. This is a yucky one for them to have to deal with, isn't it? Turns out they were running some very open books there.
Yeah, I don't know to what extent the actual politicians knew what was going on. This was being done at a lower level in lots of government departments. They were
Of government departments?
Yeah, lots. Like where the count's going up, but it seems to be about 6 or 7 at the moment. Lots of government departments were hiring this agency to do spying, to do surveillance work, to do security work, whereby it was doing things that the government department themselves weren't very comfortable doing.
Including spying on Christchurch earthquake.
Yes, exactly.
Insurance.
Protesters, environmental protesters in particular. If there's someone protesting, these people would be there with their cameras or looking at what cars you're driving and looking up the registration details, passing it on to government agencies. And so it's pretty dirty work. And but they also do lots of other things. They if you've got a business and you're worried about being bugged, these people will come in and debug you.
Do they do the same thing that the D-methods do?
Yeah, basically.
Totally. We found one. That didn't cost you this much money. Here's the invoice. Ba-boom. Yeah.
Yes, exactly. And so lots of government departments were needing to be debugged, and this is where this is the latest kind of scandalous part. The SIS, these government departments would contact the SIS, and the SIS says, we know who can help you. We'll put you on to our friends, Thompson and Clark.
Good friends, yeah.
Yes, and they'll do it for you. And so there's a few instances of that happening.
So is it more about jobs for mates and everyone just sort of glad-handing each other, as opposed to the fact that these government departments were using this investigation company or the security company? Is it more? It's more about the backhanders.
The backhander stuff is the one that's come in lately, and so some people were talking about corruption. Some people were saying,
how can the government not have known about that if it was that widespread?
No, I don't know if it was very widespread. We the State Services Commission are having this big investigation at the moment, and we will find out, I presume.
Did we find out who told the police to do what they did to Nikki Haga?
That's a good question, but that's I don't think there's a connection with Thompson and Clark.
No,
here.
But I mean, but, yeah, just saying, same government.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's dirty politics, absolutely. And so there are some similar mindsets going on here, but I don't know if there's a connection here, but you might be onto something. So it's where the state wants to do something that they don't really want to have, you know, have their dirty hands on, you know, so they contract it out.
Yep.
And they get these other people who have lower sort of ethical or legal responsibilities to do their dirty work.
I suppose when it's a company like that that does that sort of thing, when you start to get into three or four different government departments, that's kind of, that's when it starts to get a little bit creepy, like, eh? But sort of.
It is. Yes, absolutely. But the cover's blown now.
Yeah.
And, well.
Yeah, I'll bet you $1,000 they're still here in a year's time, though. But then they'll still be doing the same job.
Because the cover was blown a few months ago, and Jacinda Ardern put out an order to her government departments, okay, stop using these guys. Yet some of them kept using them. So.
They must have been doing good work for them, like you say. You know, must have been some good number plates coming in.
Yeah. Oh, some other work they were doing recently was for the Ministry of Health. They were going around buying drugs for them. So, you know, they would go around to the shops selling legal highs, or whatever you call them.
All right. That's how they got to do that.
Yeah. So that's
you could get BFM people to do that. BFM listeners to do that. Some of them. Now they know where to go. We're all done.
Yeah. So things like that. They're probably checking vape stores at the moment, you know, going around seeing that stores aren't selling the wrong thing. I don't know. But
all right. Okay, so we'll just keep an eye on that company. We'll keep an eye on those on that story. What else has piqued your interest this week, Bryce? What's sitting on the top of your important pile?
No, a really boring thing at the top of the pile. And I'll send your listeners to sleep now, but there's going to be a reorganisation of the public service.
Yes! That's exciting news.
It's not very exciting, no, but I think it's really important. Chris Hipkins is determined to...
I guess you need to be a little clearer on what a reorganisation is. Drain the swamp. We're going to drain the swamp.
Yeah, there might be a bit of that. He's talking about merging government departments, making them work together more effectively. He's actually talking about contracting stuff to Google to get data about citizens or government departments to, you know, be able to better interact with us.
Yippee!
Yeah.
I suppose that's where it has to head. You know, if that's the best data collection or the most accurate data you can get, then you've got to be up to speed with it, I suppose.
Yeah, hey, so to take them up, modernise these government departments, make them more meaningful for everyday citizens.
And then when we have a massive civil emergency and the internet goes down, make them completely useless. I just want to ask you real quick what you thought. Do you think the New Zealand government need to speak up about the children being separated from their parents at the Mexican border by the US government? It's a massive issue. It's making people speak out that have yet to have spoken out about Trump, and have now gone to a next level, hasn't it?
Yeah, personally, I think they should, but it is always the case that they're going to make enemies with Trump if they speak out too loudly. And, yeah, it's just a case of whether New Zealand wants to be enemies of Trump. I'm happy with that, but, you know, there could be consequences if we go shouting at him.
On the project last night, Jesse Mulligan said that if we don't speak up as a nation, you know, like officially condemn it, then we normalise it, and that we shouldn't normalise something like that.
Oh, no, it is horrendous what's going on. So it has been a bit gutless of this government, and they would have the Labour and Green parties would have criticised National if they hadn't spoken up. So, yeah.
I mean, she's met them, and they've been over there, and they've seen what's going on. I mean, they're probably sitting there going, oh, this is not even the worst, man.
Yeah, that's right. But the good news is that Trump has decided to act, and he is doing some sort of U-turn today, signing some executive orders to cancel what's going on, so it looks
so
like
so we can focus on Space Force. did you hear about Space Force?
I don't know what it's about.
It's a sixth arm to their defense. So you got we couldn't remember the other one. You stay with this Army, Navy, Air Force, Marines. I think maybe Special Service. You know, the Special, say what the RSS, something. And now he's adding a sixth arm to it. The Space Force!
Space Force.
For space! news.
They should get Thompson and Clark there to run it.
Dr. Bryce Edwards, thank you very much. Speak to you again soon.
Cheers, Lucky.
Thank you.
You just heard a bit of political commentary.